what we're trying to do.
Okay. We had a delegate speak to us last segment. Let's have a senator speak to us now. Senator Mike Huff has joined us. Senator, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Great to hear from you, and lots of questions for you. And what's going on in the, as far as you are concerned, in the state of Maryland?
Well, I called. I sent you that article this morning.
Yes.
About the Democrats' plan during this crisis, Maryland Democrats' plan. And one of them that on is that they wrote a letter to the governor demanding that he close all gun stores that, you know, God forbid, in a crisis situation, people will be able to practice their Second Amendment right or be able to defend their homes or be able to hunt or do any of those things. So they've asked the governor to stop the sale of ammunition and firearms.
Wow.
And this would piggyback on the rest of their plan. We already know the state's attorney of Baltimore City has said she's going to stop prosecuting many crimes. And she also asked for the governor of the state of Maryland to release all criminals who are over the age of 60 from prisons, regardless of any crime they committed. So just so everyone knows, the Maryland Democrats, apparently their plan how to deal with this crisis is to open up the prisons, stop prosecuting criminals, and don't allow law-abiding citizens to defend themselves by having firearms. I mean, it's just, you can't even make this stuff up. This is literally what serious people who are elected leaders are proposing. That over, I think it was over 50 elected members of the General Assembly wrote this letter that we should basically disarm law-abiding citizens. And then, of course, as I said, the state's attorney in Baltimore City is called for.
Is that Maryland? Is that still the same old state's attorney?
Yep,
Maryland Mosby, and has no idea what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator, let me ask you the questions that are going to be asked. Why should gun stores be allowed to stay open during the pandemic when most other retailers have had to shut their doors?
Well, I don't know why. Why would you say this is an opportunity to suspend people's Second Amendment right to protect themselves? And then if you look at it, no one knows what's going to happen in this uncertainty that we have. We hope that we get through it okay. But, you know, there's reports of, for example, Baltimore County police officers who are now sick with this. And so I think you cannot put all of your trust as a citizen in the state and government to protect you.
Right.
You know, especially if you live in a rural part of Frederick County anyway. If you live in a rural part in Western Maryland, it's already hard if you call 911. It may be a while before you get somebody there. It's not like if you're in, you know, parts
Baltimore
of Montgomery
City.
County, Baltimore City.
Right.
And also, if you're a farmer, having a firearm is essential. Having ammunition is essential. You have to be able to protect your livestock. You know, if you get a coyote come up or if you get something coming on and attacking your livestock. So just because we're in a crisis doesn't mean that you don't have, you should lose the ability to protect your property and your livelihood, quite frankly, for farmers and many other people who having a firearm is essential.
How about this question? If they close the gun shop, let's close the liquor store.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you want to see...
You know, I think, too, to add to, you know, people's uncertainty.
Yeah.
Talk about a bad move. You went out and closed firearm stores.
Right.
Then you really start to add to, you know, public panic. It's just nothing more
and paranoia.
Than who have an agenda.
Right.
These are legislators who have an agenda, which is to disarm law-abiding citizens.
Correct.
They work all
Correct.
Day, every day during session, every minute, trying to figure out how to disarm law-abiding citizens. There were bills in there that would have made it almost impossible for people to own and keep firearms. Most of them, fortunately, were defeated this session.
Amen.
But this is a question to be asked, is how is closing gun stores temporarily at this time disarming, you know, legal citizens, American citizens?
Because if you don't have ammunition, what are you going to shoot a gun with?
True. I mean, gun doesn't work by itself.
Of course it is. Of course it's disarming law-abiding citizens. So it's totally reckless. The same people, like I said, are calling this, are calling to open up the prison doors and release criminals. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
These are serious people. These are elected people that are proposing this.
Well,
I mean, it sounds it sounds like a plot. I can't think of the movie, The Purge or something, where they let all the criminals run in the streets and everyone had to hide in their homes.
What about this? The idea, why would it be safe for the public to release criminals into the populace? Explain to me how that could make any sense at all. Oh, so you didn't get corona, but you got murdered.
And they take away your gun. So when the axe murderer who they released from prison is breaking into your house, you don't have a gun to defend yourself.
About the sexual predators? What about the I mean, it makes no sense. You're making the public much putting them in much more of a situation of being in danger rather than keeping the people in the jail that belong in the jail. I don't know. There's a lot of people in jail that don't belong there. I mean, that's the left's cry. I know.
It is just like I said. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
Yeah,
but
it's sad.
It's unbelievable that these people. This is what they're proposing, and they just did this letter to the governor demanding close all the gun stores, stop selling ammunition, firearms. This was yesterday, and I said these are the same people who've sat silently while in the murder capital of the United States, unfortunately, which is Baltimore City, the most dangerous city in America per capita.
Yes, sir.
The prosecutor stopped prosecuting people. She basically said as soon as came in, she uses an excuse to stop prosecuting people. So what you're seeing is this is people who, this is like Nancy Pelosi or these other people. They have a radical left agenda, and they're just using this as an excuse. They're using this crisis
as
an excuse to push their agenda.
Whether it be Green New Deal people. Exactly. 100%.
Disarm people, stop prosecuting criminals. This is all part of their regular agenda, and they're just cravenly using this as an excuse to push it forward, which is awful. It's awful to use something like this as an excuse to push your agenda, but you know we're seeing it constantly, both nationally. You're right, Nancy Pelosi tried to get the Green New Deal stuff through the Corona package, and then at the state and local levels, now we're seeing it.
Well, Senator, what would you tell somebody like there's a federal judge who said that the coronavirus poses a grave danger in jails and prison, who say we got a real situation, not with just criminals in prison, but with the entire staff? Prison guards.
Let's just close the prisons, Frank. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking how you would answer that question.
You would say that's because people have been adjudicated to be in. I should answer for the senator. Senator, what do you say? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not minimizing that, of course, there's a threat to prisons and the guards or anything else. Of course. We need to figure out how to minimize that. And, you know, even for somebody who's done something awful in life, we don't want to sentence them to die of an illness in prison. But that said, the state's attorney called for the release of everyone who's over the age 60.
Yeah,
it's like she made no differentiation between serial killers and anybody else. So, no, we should not use this as an excuse to mass release thousands of people from prison who are potentially very dangerous. No, of course, you could just take precautions and do the best we can to keep people safe and healthy within the prisons. Of course, there's a real concern about not wanting prisoners and guards and personnel to get it, of course.
Certainly.
100%. But the rationale is, you've got a state's attorney and some people on the far left that basically don't want to incarcerate anyone. And they're using this as part of their agenda, just to mass release people from prison.
Wow, exactly.
And that's where I have a problem with it. This is going from, and I have a lot of friends that do prison ministries, and I think it's a great, wonderful thing to do. And I of course, am concerned people in prison. But when you're using this as your agenda to mass release people because that's what you want to do anyways, or you want to take people's guns and you're using this as an excuse, that's where I have a real problem with what people are doing.
I have a question for you, Senator. I'm going to ask you that in about 2 seconds. Maybe a few seconds. May I ask you to hold a second? Coming back, the question is going to be, is there a law, is there a requirement that the health department in the state of Maryland can conceal areas of infection with the Corona-19. We're coming right back to Senator Mike Huff, District 4. All right. I'm back. Frank's back. Senator Mike Huff, I trust, is back with us. And, Senator, thank you for giving you a second to listen to that. What say you on the fact that where these groups of infected individuals are placed is now being kept from the citizens? There's no law that I have found anywhere on the books in the state of Maryland that says that this information needs to be protected, other than their name, of course. But are you hearing any complaints about that?
So do you mean, like, you can see how many cases are in Frederick County, but you can't see where they're in Frederick County? Is that what you mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question, because your HIPAA laws to protect your privacy of the patient are still in effect, and I'm not aware that the governor can waive those.
No, that's fine. The HIPAA laws don't prohibit it.
There was emergency legislation we did not pass that gave a bunch of powers, including HIPAA waiving. But, that would be really helpful information, to be honest.
Sure,
I agree with you, that not giving the person's name, because our county's so big.
Right.
You want to be able to know if you live in, let's say,
Sebelisville.
My district goes all the way from Brunswick to Emmitsburg, which is, you know, almost an hour drive, and Brunswick to Mount Airy, which is, again, another
hour. Right.
You know, 45, almost an hour drive. Yeah, so it's so big, you'd like to know, you know, if there are cases
if
there. I think that would help, and the people would feel better.
And you don't have to say their name. You don't have to say their direct address. But if you could say, for example, Braddock Heights is a hot spot, or Searsville is a hot spot, you know, I think that would be so much comforting to people to know that. Where, as you don't know, I think that the lack of knowledge is obviously which causes, you know, anxiety and panic, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, and you would just have, I mean, right now, I don't know why they couldn't, because they already tell you what county. And
exactly.
The logical assumption that I think you can make, and see, you don't want to assume, but where they're seeing this is more in urban areas where people are closer,
correct.
They live closer together. And so, you know, the assumption you just have to make from seeing the numbers is that it's probably more in, like, the city of Frederick, or you have an urban area. And we know in the rest of the state it's more in Prince George's and Montgomery.
Right.
More urbanized the area.
But where?
I understand they're releasing the information once it's a cluster. They're just not doing
it. But what's a cluster? I mean, how many people have to be clustered? I mean, to me, it's like I don't appreciate the 10 people rule. I mean, I'm not a politician. I'm just saying, who decided 10 people? Why not 9 people? How about 8.5? Where did this 10 people rule come in? Uncle Senator?
Yeah, I think, that's a good question. So the governor released that earlier, but a lot of this is coming from CDC guidance, too. So, I mean, the president's issue, they did it first, it was 15 days to slow the spread,
mm-hmm.
and then they went to now 30 days to slow the spread. So a lot is coming from the CDC and, you know, people like Dr. Fauci and others that are, you know, that are doing that. It's constantly changing. They're updating guidances and things, so.
But I just wondered, it's amusing to me, and it's not funny, but it's amusing that they picked a number, 10 people. That makes no sense to me. If we're to not be together, why would it be 10? Why not 5? Why not 2? And, you know, I think it brings a little humor at this time, because if you only have 9 people, you're pretty safe.
Yeah.
I won't pick one anymore.
They've got much more strict than that, too. I mean, the governor's stay-at-home order is more strict than that. I mean, it's basically saying, I was talking to somebody today, and they asked me, and they said, well, can I go outside, walk with my friends, or meet with my friends in the picnic area? And I said, well, the stay-at-home order, the way I read it, it basically says that you're only supposed to be outside and walking with immediate family members.
Suppose you have 10 people in your family.
Let me ask you.
That's excluded because there are people in the household.
I'm not trying to trick you, Senator. I'm just trying.
You can ask. Call Delegate Dan Cox. He's probably one of the few people that can exceed that rule, so he can talk to you about it.
Well, let me ask you some questions. I know you can answer, Senator Hoffer.
Right.
I hope
you
can answer. One is just your personal feeling. Is that you're known to be a conservative? What do you think of the leadership of Governor Hogan so far? Do you think that he's taken anything too far? Do you think he's doing just about right as far as his pronouncements?
Yeah, I mean, early on when, I think he's doing a good job. I mean, early on, I mean, we just kind of have to trust our government officials in these kind of times. I mean, for me, I'm skeptical a lot of times of government, big government and things like this. But that being said, you know, they say it's better to be safe than sorry. And so I just had a family member yesterday who lives in Connecticut who we're pretty sure has this. And so it's very spreadable, and everyone who's got it has said afterwards, don't mess around with this, take it very seriously. And so, you know, and you don't just have to take it from Governor Hogan. If you watch President Trump's press conferences, you can see he said, too, that this month is going to be very difficult. I mean, they're projecting 100,000 to 200,000 deaths. So I think we have to take it very seriously. And I think that the governor, the fact that he was out in front of all of it, I think right now looks like it was a pretty good call, and I think we just need to take this really seriously, and hopefully at the end of this month we can, you know, hopefully get through this and get back to normal, or closer to normal.
And then I want to ask you one thing specific to your district, because we talked to Delegate Pippi about this.
Yes, we did.
Have you heard anything? I believe Mount Airy is all within your district. Any kind of updates on the nursing home situation there? 77 of 95 residents testing positive,
yeah.
At least 5 deaths so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when you hear that, it's, you know, my prayers really go out to them, and that, you know, this is really what you're fearing at in a scenario like this, because obviously they all would fit the criteria of being over 60, of being more at risk of this becoming serious and potentially even fatal, and that how quickly it spread through there. I haven't heard it. I mean, I've just been watching through the news, and we get some updates from the governor, but it does look, you know, like a very bad case. So, you know, we just hope everybody can pull through, and that our hospitals here don't get overrun with too many cases.
Well, I appreciate it, Senator. You brought some calm into a chaotic situation. I appreciate you checking in with us, and if you would continue to do so, I know the constituents and the people of Frederick County would appreciate this. So I really, my hat's off to you. If I had a hat, and wasn't trying to trick you with this question, but these are the questions that we get sometimes on the radio almost every day. Can a man get?
Yeah, I know. There's all right.
Yeah,
we've been trying to, you know, from our limited means. I mean, on my social media, almost every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day. As soon as I get updates, we post them. We email stuff out. And I know that only reaches those certain limited people that would follow me on Facebook or see my email. But I think between that and what everybody else is doing, what you guys are doing, I think we're all trying to spread the word and explain these guidances as they come down from the government. And like I said, we're all being trusting in the state and federal government, what they're saying. And hopefully we can get through this and, like I said, move back to more of a sense of normalcy.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can keep in touch with us and let us know what people in your district are concerned about, or you know, what you're hearing about things locally. Keep in touch.
Let's remember, Frank, we're one day closer.